In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
You know, one of the things I believe the Spirit of the Lord is putting on my heart to stress continually in this campaign, because I call it a campaign, you can call it Jesus campaign, is assurance of salvation. Somebody say assurance of salvation. There's this thing that's been going, you know, from one generation to another generation in a nation that we need to kill in this generation. That mindset of you are saved, but you are not safe. Are you getting my point? You are saved, but you are not what? Safe. Because until you come to realization of the fatherhood of God, you can enjoy Christianity. He saved you. How did he save you? How did he save you? You are not confident. How did he save you? Okay, they are very... For by grace are you what? Now, if you are saved by grace, then you can't keep it by works. Should I tell you one of the songs I hate most? Let me sing it. Should I sing it? When you come to collect your people, remember me. That's an insult. So when did you become a package that can be forgotten? It's like you are going to the airport, you are going to move with 7 luggages, and you left one. Turn to your neighbor and say, he cannot forget me. If I get on your feet and shout it to somebody, say, he cannot forget me. It's not possible. Let me give you another one. You know, I go around places, especially in Nigerian churches, even in the US at times. And when you are done preaching, a big man of God will now come, say, let's pray for our Father who has blessed us. That on that day, which day? So you are still praying for me to make heaven, when I already have heaven here. You know, doing Christianity without assurance of salvation is pathetic. In fact, pathetic is too light a word. It's criminal. And one of the things I want to inscribe on the hearts of every minister, every ministry gift here today, is please stop insulting the blood of Jesus. It's an insult on the blood of Jesus, which is the payment for your redemption, to say, you know, it can still happen that on that day you won't find your name on the list. That's not the gospel. It's not good. There's no, that's a bad news, though. I'm not very agree with me that that's a bad news. That's not the gospel. Now, what's your last name? Bada. Is it possible that one day you will not be Bada? Love, let my name remain in the book of Badas forever and ever. It sounds funny, right? But that's what has been passed, the tradition of religion. Can I come down? Okay, you know me now. That's the tradition. That's the tradition of religion that's been passed from one generation to another. Put it there. Thank you. And my stuff, Pastor, that's a tradition of religion. You know, several years ago, this should be like 34, 35 years ago when I was on campus, I started a campaign. I call it Watu. After a while, we upgraded it to Watu. Watu means war against tradition and unbelief. Then when we upgraded it to Watu, it became war against tradition, unbelief, and religion. Our effectiveness as believers is tied to the understanding of the assignment. If there's anything that defines this assignment that we've been given, is no condemnation. Lift up your two hands and shout, no condemnation. Come on, scream it, shout, no condemnation. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph was addressing his brothers, the very brothers that sold him out into slavery. When they realized that this was their brother, you could imagine the embarrassment and the fear they had. Because now, Joseph was in a position to kill them. In fact, he said something powerful there. He said, I'm the father of Pharaoh. Is there even Pharaoh? Submit to me. Is what my words are law in this land. So literally saying, I can kill you. But rather than use his power to kill, do you know what he told them graciously? He said, don't even think about what you did to me. Because beyond your mess, God had the plan. And I need you to now dwell in Goshen, which means near me. I want you to dwell near me without any sense of condemnation or guilt. That's the life of a new creation. The payment is so rich that God cannot remember your mess. And now what God cannot remember, you are doing everything possible to remind him that you're a mess. Now, calling you a mess does not make you holy. In fact, I'm not sure you're interested in holiness. The key to holiness is embracing your nature. Every time you struggle with I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, do you know what you have just done? You have empowered the devil. So that now you can live as a slave. But when you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, boy, or bro, locosa, there's an engine of holiness. Hey, you didn't hear me. There's an engine of holiness in you. Makataya. That's how to service that engine. You service that engine. Service it. I am the righteousness. I'm the righteousness. You know, the lifestyle of any creation is a lifestyle of receiving, not achieving. You may be seated. Sorry, I'm not your regular preacher. All protocols observed, you are special. But can we get into the word? The service. There's a servicing of your engine. There's a servicing of your engine. And you service your engine through your lips. Is somebody following me this morning? You service your engine through what? Somebody said, Pastor, teach us deeper things. Deeper things. This is a school of ministry. Nothing can be deeper than this. Nothing can be deeper. By the way, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not about organization skills. It's not about leadership skills. Now, are those things necessary to run an organization, a church ministry very well? Yes! We need leadership skills. We need administrative skills. We need organizational skills. But we cannot reduce the gospel to those things. Because what is happening is, in some circles, is that those things are now being so elevated to the point that people go through ministerial training without understanding the most important things. But all they know are all these things, all these intellectual, mental things that you don't even need to be a believer to know them. Is somebody following me? you were called to receive. So the greatest skill of a new creation is receiving skills. In fact, what we call faith is literally the art of receiving. He came to his own and his own received him not. But for as many as received him, he gave the power to become what? Sons of God. Lift up your right hand and shout, I am a receiver. Come on, shout it one more time. Say, I'm a receiver. You know, in American football, there is one of the position is what? Receiver. Receiver. And that is the calling of a believer. Write it down. My calling as a believer is to receive. Is to receive. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You know, I get concerned when I hear this phrase over and over. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. I say, okay, I understand the aspect of there's a life of sacrifice that comes with, you know, being a disciple of Jesus. But it seems you are more aware of the price you need to pay as a believer more than the price that was paid on you. Come on, are you following me? So before you start talking about the price, in fact, if you understand the price that was paid on you, you realize your price is nothing. There's an awareness of what was paid on you that makes you do stuff for him without making a big deal out of it. You know, I'm very concerned about the generations that are shouting all over the place. Oh, I love God. 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 We are lovers of God in this place. Okay. Because the last person that sounded like that denied Jesus 3 times. Oh, I'm not feeling the person I'm talking about. When John was busy sitting at his bosom, putting his head on his, enjoying the love of God, there was a Peter who was all over the place. Hey, you know I love you. Before anything touches you, it has to go through me. I encourage you not to love him. No. But you must realize your love of him is only a fruit of his love for you. According to 1 John 4, the first love is the first he has for you. So there is what I call the principle of what? The first love. 1 John chapter 4. So I say, I've never had that principle before. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, that's the first principle of love. Go to 1 John. Somebody shout hallelujah. I can hear you shouting one more time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Are you there? It says, we love him because he first loved us. So the first love is his love for us, not our love for him. Do we love him? Yes, it's only natural how things work together for good for those who love God. That's your identity. It's your identity to love God. Is part of your nature. A new creation is a product of love. We have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's who we are. We love God. But still, we need to understand that the love we have for him is based on his love for us. So, in fact, the way to be effective in your love for him is to be established and rooted in his love for you. And there's no other way to get rooted in his love for you more than understanding the sacrifice on the cross. You got to go back to the cross. What he did for you on the cross is the definition of love. Write it down. The definition of love is on the cross. Makosatabaya kataya. Oh, look at the woman I married. God loves me. Okay, it's a manifestation of his love, but there's a greater demonstration of that love, and that greater demonstration is in the cross. So go back to the cross, because Because on the cross, love was demonstrated at his height. John chapter 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his brethren. So rather than focus on your love for him, why not focus on his love for you? And the way to understand that is go through the curriculum of the cross. Then you come to an understanding of the height, the breadth, the width, and the height of that love that passes knowledge. In other words, this love cannot be taught in university. It can only be received by revelation. The mind of men cannot fathom it. It's too deep. I'm serious. I have a son who's going to be 21 this month. Listen, I love my son. I know I love you. Will I kill my son for you to live? No. No. Kill my... But you know, that's what God did. Love cannot be more than that. And you are there carrying yourself anyhow. The worth of a thing is in the payments made for it. There's a conversation going all over the world now concerning Osimhen. I don't know if you follow soccer, you follow football. The Americans are very rebellious. The rest of the world call it football, they call it soccer. And they invented their own football, which involves the hands more than any other thing. Okay. So when you see me call soccer, it's because they have infected me. It's football. Call it football. It's football. I've lived in America for 24 plus years. This is my 25th year, so don't blame me. But yes, the real football, yes. Very football. And by the way, up till now, I've rebelled. Every Super Bowl, my wife said, baby, are we not going to watch? I said, watch what? I've seen the real thing, which is football. I will not gather around handball and basketball, whatever you call it. I'm not watching it. I'd rather the other sports in America than for, but that football, I said, I refuse. I had to pray several years ago when my son was falling in love with it. To the extent that I wanted to play it. I said, I will now go to a stadium watching people run over my son. Because that thing they call football, it involves so many things. So wrestling, kicking. So God now helped us. A movie was released called Concussion. How many of you have seen that bad movie? So my wife and I said, Toluanika, let's go and watch this movie. There was an agenda. So we sat next to him. Concussion. So after the movie, he said, did you learn anything from the movie? He said, yes. I said, what did you learn? He said, never to watch a movie like that with your parents. But to the glory of God, I want to testify before the people of God, one way or the other, the love for American football died. And I'm grateful because I'm a pastor. Barnabas, I can't just, you will now sit down. They say your son, who is the star, people will be jumping on him. I don't know if you have watched American football before or rugby. It's not fun. No, you see grown men in pants running all over the place. I said no. I mean, give me the football that you chest, that you control, that you do leg over. That's football. That's what I grew up as, football, not this rebellious product all over the place. Okay, if you're an American, you're watching this, you know I love you. And I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. But now I'm a Nigerian. So, back to what I was saying. There's a conversation going. I'm not sure you love Osimhen. You love Osimhen. That's our best player. Whether you like it or not, he's our best player. Saying he didn't score any goal. Even the goals he did not score, he cost it. If not for him, he would not have been the final. He's responsible for over 60% of that goal. So the goals, so directly or indirectly, he still took us to final. Okay, but that's not the conversation. The conversation is going on concerning which team he's going to go to, because it's very obvious he's not going to stay at Napoli at the end of the season. And Napoli, be smart, very smart. Italians are smart. They put a clause on his contract. A few months ago, they gave him another contract to protect themselves, knowing fully well that this guy is likely to go. So they put a clause on the contract, a release clause, which I believe is between 120 to 130 million dollars or thereabouts. Is it? I'm not sure whether it's dollars or pounds, but in that neighborhood. Followers of football, you know what I'm talking about. So they're, according to them, their evaluation of Osimhen is between 120 million and 130 million dollars. So any team that really wants him must come to the table with nothing less than that amount, because that is the evaluation of his worth. You, as a new creation, are you aware that you were bought? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. Give me, come on. Let's go somewhere. You were bought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are what? God. Come to Jesus and say, you were bought. So there was a price on you, which reflects your worth. Then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 23. And we're going somewhere this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 23. He said, for you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Hey. If you really know what it means to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, you will respect yourself better. So he said, how do I disrespect myself? Father Lord, in the name of Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. So Jesus' payment produced a sinner. You want to know the worth of a new creation? The worth of a new creation is the life of Jesus. Somebody say, what do you mean? Jesus had to die before a new creation can be produced. Unless you are saying God is a bad businessman, so why will he pay so much to have a product that worth nothing? Why will he pay so much? What he paid is beyond comprehension. Like I told you earlier on, I have a son, a 21-year-old son, that I will not kill for you. You know I love you. Accurate people, you know I love you. I'm committed to you, but not to that extent. I will not kill my son for you to live. But that's exactly what God did where we are concerned. First Peter chapter 1 verse 23. This is not what I plan to preach, but apparently this needs to be resounded. First Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. First Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. I'm loving this. First Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Verse 18. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Oh, something is about to hit this house. Can we read it together, people? 1, 2, 3, go. Word redeem there means to buy back, to rescue. The payment of a ransom was involved. And it says, your worth was so much that there was no amount of gold or silver, dollars or pounds that could make it happen. Verse 19. No silver, no gold. Go to verse 19, the next verse, please. So you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Verse 19, please. Can we shout it together? 1, 2, 3, go. For The blood of Christ was the only thing that could pay for you. And how do you get blood without killing? The blood was needed. Because without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of what? Sins. The blood of animals could not get it done. Your blood cannot. Turn to your neighbor. Stop shedding your blood. It has no value. I know some of us go around bragging about, you know, this is my blood. This is my blood. I don't want to shed my blood because someone already shed his blood. I'm okay with the blood that was shed. Turn to anyone and say, I refuse to shed blood wastefully. Don't waste your blood. The blood that was needed was shed, and that was the payment. And for that blood to be shed, his life had to be taken. And it produced you. You became a new creation. Nothing can wash my sin away but the blood of Jesus. But listen. Your religion tells you he washed all the sins you are committing before you met him away. But now, the sins you now commit after you become his child, you are responsible for it. I want to hit religion in the head today. Sin is sin. Past sense, past one, present one, future one. Say, when you talk like that, people will misbehave. Why am I not misbehaving? I have believed it for almost 3 decades. And the only woman I've known all my life is my wife. And I'm fine with it. March 27 will make it 25 years that I've been married. You know, those preachers that will just make you misbehave. No, those preachers that will release you into a life of freedom, which you are. When God is supposed to be carrying you, you now want to be carrying yourself. You will be tired. And ministers of the gospel, this is our message. This is our message. Before you teach anything, make sure your people understand this. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And your church, your people must know this, that they were paid for. They don't need to pay for themselves. You are righteously redeemed. You are not sneaked out of health. The claims of justice were made. The devil has nothing on you. God is only asking you to agree with him. Can you imagine a document has been prepared? A document in your favor. And all he's asking for is your signature. For us to effect this document, which is for you and not against you, we just need you to sign. Do you agree with the contents of this agreement? If you do, sign. Somebody say, how do we sign? You sign with your mouth. With the heart, man believeth unto right. And with the mouth, we have in the same spirit of faith as it is written. We have believed, therefore we've spoken. We believe and we speak. Somebody shout, I believe and I speak. I speak. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm redeemed. I'm accepted in the beloved. God is for me and not against me. All things are working for my good. Lift up your two hands and shout, I am blessed. That is the gospel. Jesus died and rose up again. I believe it. He paid for me in his death. And I get to enjoy
is life.
Hey. Sam, I get to enjoy his life. He said, I've come that they may have life. And the life he was talking about what was not a natural life. He was not talking a biological life. He was talking about the highest form of life, the greatest form of life, the life that defines deity. I have come. That's what I came for. I came for life. The life I've always have. I want you to have it. But for you to have it, I must pass through death. Because death is the only way to have my blood shed. That will be the payment that will move you out of death to life. Out of darkness to light. You know, you are not just moved out of darkness to light. You became light. So it's not just a thing of location. Oh, I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. That's true. But more than that, you are light. Oh my God, you didn't hear me. I said you are light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. You are is your identity. Light is not just your location. It's your identity. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. You are light. You don't just carry light. You are light. Give me Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. He said, for you who were once darkness. In other words, before you came into Christ, you were not just in darkness. You were darkness. I'm not talking about your dark skin. Can you imagine? You don't just have dark skin. You are the dark spirit. You are darkness. But now, somebody shout now. I need you to shout now. Hey, brulokota yakakata. Now. Makata yaka. Now. Now. He said, you. Hey, my, if this revelation explodes in your spirit, your outlook will change. Your outlook to life. If God sent you to the most rural place, you will still be fine.
Yes, sir.
You are light. You are light. But for you to become light, Jesus paid the price in his blood. I remember the song we used to sing growing up as a Christian. I'm fearfully made. I am wonderfully made. I belong to God. I resemble him. I'm fearfully made. I'm wonderfully made. I belong to God. I resemble him. That's why the devil trembles whenever he hears me. I have believed Jesus lives in me. That's why the devil trembles whenever he hears me speaking. I have believed Jesus lives in me. That's why the devil troubles whenever he hears me speaking. I have believed Jesus lives in me. That's why the devil trembles whenever he hears me speaking. Because when you speak, you sign the documents. Your speaking is the agreement that God is waiting for. Write it down. My speaking is the agreement. Now, you know, some lepers came to Jesus and said, we've heard of your miraculous power. If you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus quickly jumped in and said, no, don't say that. I will. So the question this morning is, do you will? So the will of Jesus is established. You know, we say this growing up as a Christian, the will of God is expressed in his word. What about this? The will of man is expressed in his words. Whatever you are saying is your will. I know if you believe God's will is in his word, then your will is in your words. In Genesis chapter 1, is it not interesting that the first thing that God taught us in the Bible is how to make by speaking? The earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God saw darkness, he saw emptiness, he saw chaos, he saw everything upside down. In verse 3, what happened? Genesis 1:3. What happened? Verse 2. Let's go back to verse 2. Based on how it looked, it was without form. It was empty. Darkness was everywhere. Think about it. Why will that be documented? If not for the fact that God wanted to teach us, if there's anything you must learn first about life, this, the first, the, or should I say, the most important lesson where life is concerned has to do with the use of your word. Write it down. The first lesson of life is, like they would say, you're pushing sorrow. You know, they would say, oh, moroso, oh, moroso. Oh, moroso is not just, oh, you abuse everybody. Oh, moroso is not just, you know, you don't have discretion. Oh, moroso is bigger than that. Oh, moroso is, you log on to your account and it's like, boy, it was void. Genesis 1:2. Oh, moroso is, mo lowo, I don't have money. Oh, moroso. Well, let me put it in another way. Oh, morolo. But what you want me to say? Is that not what I saw? After all, seeing is what? Oh, yeah, show me the scripture. Pastor Barnabas, where is that scripture? Sin is believing. Oh, please, your translation that says it, let me know that translation. Sin is believing. You know, there are some things we have passed from one generation to another which are literally unscriptural. Heaven helps those who help themselves. Which verse, which chapter, who said it? Whose prophecy? Horror. I've come this far by speaking, and my future is in my words. I shared with them in Ife yesterday. Several years ago, there was this man on TBN. This man had enough money to be on TBN, and it's not cheap to be on TBN. I was on TV. I know what it cost. But man, he was so I said, what did he say that was that bad? I will tell you. So there was this faithful day after church on Sunday. You know, Sunday evening, I would just chill, tune to TBN. So I tuned to TBN. Imagine, I thought I was sitting down to be fed, not knowing somebody is about to release poison on a Christian television several years ago. And this man was so eloquent, so charismatic. You know, you can be so charismatic and you are saying nonsense. Because some of you, it's eloquence that captures you. Apollos was eloquent, yes, but he didn't know anything. As far as the New Testament is concerned, yes, they had to pull him with your girl. Hey, Moroso, Bobejin Soro. It's not. It's, they now doctrine. Pastors, you are so quick to appoint and ordain because of charisma. So, what charismatic? Oh, move away, you know. You can move people. Move them to action. So this man was trying to move, but what was moving was dangerous. So I had this message on the day. People of God, every morning When I wake up, I make sure I do this before I go to work. Talking about his church office. I hug my wife, I pull her to myself, and I kiss her passionately. And every of my children, I greet them, I hug them, I kiss them. Because who knows, that might be the last time. Say, I wasn't surprised. Years later, obituary. You know, there's a means of gospel that died in a plane crash years ago. And when they were pulling his messages online, they saw one of the messages where he was saying, church people, you need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your man of God. So that one, none of these days, you will not hear that your pastor died in a plane crash. And he died in a plane crash. My people in Chicago, we have a slang. You want to know our slang? I can't die like a chicken. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't die like a chicken. I was born and raised in Ibadan. Every Christmas time, my mother will go to the market, buy Zihen or whatever they call it, bring it home, and we start feeding it as little kids. And the innocent thing does not know that there's an agenda over his life or her life. And we'll be coming back from church on Christmas Day, deliberating on who we take her life. So after church on Christmas Day, somebody who has been appointed to take the life of the chicken, I'm not if you grew up like that. We approach the cage or whatever, open it, and the innocent thing will jump out. You will think he's coming out to feed, like you've been feeding it for the last 4 or 5 weeks. But this time around, you have come to end a life. You grab the thing before Jack Robinson. Don't you never say, I can't die like that. Don't die like that. I just go out and they say, it's not come back. I say, it can't happen. Jump on your feet and say, with long life, will it satisfy me? I can't die anyhow. An assignment to fulfill. There is a plan of God upon my life, and until I'm done and I'm ready, I'm going nowhere. Come on, shout. Maybe seated. You know, our problem at times is that you believe people's experience more than you believe the word of God. A man like that will now die. And you'll be like, and he's a pastor. He's a pastor that's been trying to kill himself for a long time. He has said it enough to become. Homologia, to say the same thing as. So when we say confession of God's word, is to say the same thing God's word has said. Your agreement with God through your words. There are going to be times your emotions will rise. But a smart believer will say, it's not by how I feel. It's by what he said. If my feeling and his word are in alignment, I'll pick his word. I pick his word. I pick his word over my feeling. I pick his word over your word. That's how we live. We don't talk anyhow because we don't want to have an anyhow life. With long life, will it satisfy us? I said, with long life, will it satisfy us? People that have known me, to the glory of God, I've been in ministry for over 30 years. You know, officially, they will say it's 27 years because that was when I was ordained. But I've been doing ministry even before ordination. I was officially ordained in 1997, but I planted my first church in 1993. So I've pastored for 32 years. And people that followed me long enough will tell you. Even when he did not have money, he kept on saying, money is coming after me. Money is coming after me. Money is coming after me. So if there's anything we must master, is how we speak. How we speak. We make by speaking. We make by what? Speaking. How? Now, let's go back to the foundational thing. How did you become a new creation? Romans chapter 10, verse 10. You did not just believe in your heart, you spoke it. You confess with your mouth. Now, listen, if that's how you are saved, and that process is called faith, and the Bible now says the just shall live by faith, that means the just lives by believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. That's fundamental. That's fundamental. That was not what I have on my note for you, but apparently somebody needs to hear it. Did you get something out of that? Now, let me now give you what I have in my notes. But I won't teach it. I will just run through it. Okay. Come on, are you blessed? Okay. For extra tutorials, see me after the class. I'm sounding like a lecturer. I was going to teach on, you know, how to build an effective ministry. Building an effective ministry does not mean you should start a ministry. they taught us the formula for having a global ministry. This is not how to have a logo or a registration that says amen, amen, blessings and glory, Christian fellowship. That's not what I'm talking about. Each one of us has been called to minister. We're ministers in one capacity or the other. Whether you're a ministry gift, fivefold ministry gift, or you have certain peculiar responsibility in certain spaces that God has allocated you, including what you do in your local church. It's a ministry. Is that clear? So it's not about how to register a ministry. Know his assignment. Write it down. I'm just going to read it. I can't teach it because of time. Know his assignment. Or know your assignment. Know your assignment. Magnify your office. And don't deviate from your calling. Know your assignment. You know, there's a way we get excited about what somebody is doing, to the point that we begin to want to, you want to be like that person. But that person is the only original that exists. Any other thing that wants to look like it is fake. God is too authentic to duplicate. If you believe God is your source, then there's something original where you are concerned. So your duty as a believer is to find that assignment. Know your assignment, magnify the office, and you know, be satisfied with what he has called you to do. Because a lot of people, they get dissatisfied with their own office. You know, I had an experience a couple of years ago, and in that experience, the Lord asked me a question. He said, before he even asked me the question, he told me, he said, I'm taking certain people into prominence in your nation of birth, and it's going to be mega major globally. And he says, but I need a Mordecai over them. I said, really? He said, yes. Then before I knew next thing, he said, will you be my Mordecai for that generation? I know some of you say, why can't I be the Esther? I don't want to enter office now. But without Mordecai, there will be no Esther. In the first place, it took a Mordecai to birth and raise an Esther. Even after Esther's moved to the palace, there was still a need for Mordecai. In fact, the reason why some Esthers are misbehaving now is because they have displaced their Mordecai. Because while Esther was in the office, Mordecai was at the gate. And there was a time Esther was going to just go into preservatory mode, you know, self-preservatory mode, which is natural. You know, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Jew. I know a lot is going on with my people, but you know, Uncle Mordecai, can you just, you know, not don't let Mordecai say, dear queen, you became a queen because of God's agenda. And I think this is the agenda. Joseph became the father of Pharaoh because of an agenda. So, as God begins to raise you, remember, you didn't get there because you are the smartest. God has an agenda and he picked you for the agenda. So if you make it about yourself and not the agenda, you might be replaced. So it took Mordecai speaking to Esther in that fashion for Esther to wake up and say, okay. And next thing, she was calling a fast and she aligned. So he said, will you be a Mordecai over a generation? I said, Lord, anything you have me do, I'll do it. So there are people that are much more popular than me. Their names are bigger than me. But guess what? I have access to them because I was in their life before the popularity came. And the Lord told me, say, I need you to stay in their lives. For some of these people, I come into their city, when I'm in Nigeria especially, and I'm like, I'm not here to preach for you. Let's talk. To the glory of God, we have several churches all over the world. I'm not looking for a platform to preach. Okay, Ejasoro, how are you? How is your wife? How are your children? Kilun Shele, tell me. You'll be shocked how many men of God are in depression. They come on the pulpit on Sunday morning, the anointing comes upon them and mask whatever they are going through. They leave the pulpit and walk back into depression. I was still talking to a man of God 3 days ago and he said, Rev, he calls me Rev. He said, Rev, you know I was depressed over a long period of time. I said, no. And that these are people that gather tens of thousands. Say, how is it? How is your wife? Are you ministering to each other? Okay. You think men of God don't need to be ministered to? Let me go into marriage seminar. And you will sit here, then men of them say, she has only given me 3 times this year. Say, Auntie Kilo Day now. Don't starve this man now. This man is dying. He's dying. Can you imagine? You are starving him. And grateful sisters. They are all around him to hug him. Don't set him up. So the Lord told me, he said, I will need you in that capacity where some of the men I'm raising are concerned. And I love the capacity and I enjoy it. We deal with issues. Yeah. There have been times I will command. And you'll be shocked who I'm commanding to the glory of God in my apostolic capacity. And based on the placement of God of my life upon them, I have the capacity. No! One of them called me a while ago. He said, sir, I just want to tell you, I'm not going to talk to so and so again. But then he lied. You will talk to him. He said, why now, sir? I said, because I said it. Don't let us go to the word of God now. Mokbalashe, oh, Nibaja, you will talk to him. He said, but, sir, didn't you hear what he said? It's okay. And to the glory of God, based on the roles I've played in some of their lives, number one, I don't need their money. I don't need their pulpit. I knew them when they had nothing. And now when they are something, I'm not nobody. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Hardly with any one of them decline my words. At times, some of them feel, for example, when I come into the country like this, I don't even let them know. Because if they know, they will feel responsible. Come and preach for me. my role in your life? By the way, we have churches that need me. I've done some crazy things. Going to cities of great men of God, big men of God. Didn't tell them I was coming. And I'll call. Where are you? I'm in the house. Okay, I'm coming to your house now. When did you enter town? I said, I'm coming to your house. Sit with them. Talk to three, four hours. Play with the children. And I say, I'm going. And he said, ah, sir, but you have not preached for me for 3 years. So he said, it's okay. This one that I came to do is more important than preaching for you. And this goes to all ministers. Don't do pulpit relationship. Pulpit exchange. I preach for you. You preach for me. Strategic relationship. If you try with me, you'll be disappointed. I have no obligation to invite you because you have invited me. I'm under no pressure. And nobody can invite himself or herself to my pulpit, Kochelery. Several years ago, there was somebody that has been preaching for me, maybe like 2-3 years. Then the friend just called and said, ah, when is that program coming? I said, which program? Shall I sign a contract? Did we sign a contract? And when it comes to something like that, Mubudu, in fact, for that same reason, for that singular reason, for the next 3 years, oh wow, I'm not coming. The only thing that can change my mind is God. And I tell my pastors, don't get under pressure. Or a reverend, but not call. Nobody has a right to invite himself to your pulpits. I'm in town ministry. I just want to tell you I'm in town. You are welcome to our town. May the Lord bless you in our town. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. That harass you. I mean, down. Hey, you are welcome. In fact, we send protocol to pick you up. With this protocol, they will sit you in your hotel. By the way, you came for something in town, right? May that thing prosper. And if you're a minister, that's been your MO. Change it. It's not honorable. Yoruba words, there's a way they say it. I like niche in here. I want to niche. One month got done law, shame be done law. And you're picking the phone. I'm in town. I mean, what are you in town for? Before you left where you are coming from, didn't you have an itinerary? I just want to find out if I can be a blessing to your people. There are ministry gifts here. Even if I don't want to preach, there are people in the system that are anointed to teach or preach. Is somebody listening to me? Before you know it, out of the 52 weeks, like 20 to 30, I've been given to, I'm in town. And before you know it, you will end up with a people without DNA. This one will come, we put them in this direction. Another one will come, put them in this direction. Your people will be confused. I'm speaking as an apostle. If you want to be strong DNA, you have to protect what's the diet of your people. Don't just allow anybody to feed them. No pressure. I told my pastor several years ago, said none of my friend has a right or a privilege to preach for you. If you want to bring them, make sure it's based on your conviction, not pressure. Or nobody should use my name to occupy your pulpit. Or a revenue. You know, there are people that fought with me on this. Somebody in Europe a while ago said, since I've been going to Nigeria all these years, and I call myself your friend, you have never picked up the phone. I say, you can go here, you can go there. Was that the reason you chose to become my friend? I'm not Jesus now. He's the one that opens the door. Why should I open the door that God has not opened? If you are that idle, go and look for a job. Put your resume on LinkedIn. I'm a preacher who is available to preach anywhere. Contractor. Hireling.
agba contract kakiri. Ah, money contract law war ni weekend yi. Akure next week. It's not a preaching engagement, it's a preaching contract. And that's one of the reasons why people die before their time. You go to places God did not send you in the name of receiving preaching contracts. You know, there was a time I was supposed to go to Philippines, and the meeting was going to be in thousands. I had a letter of invitation. The people were expectant. But a few weeks before the meeting, the Lord spoke to me, I'm not sending you there. So I had to call them. I said, I cancel. And the Lord now told me another continent to go to. And I was going to be preaching to maybe 100 people or less. But he said, that is where I want you to go. You know, when, let me give you a testimony. You know, I'm an expensive product. I just told you, it took Jesus dying for this product to be released. Don't your neighbor say, hello neighbor. Here comes an expensive product. There is no amount of dollar you can use to buy me. If my first purchase was not in dollar, it's too late to buy me. You don't have it. So the last time I came to Nigeria, on my way out of the country, I looked up. There's something that I've desired for a while. But, you know, I'll be serious about it one moment. I won't be serious about it the second moment. But as I was leaving Nigeria, I was being taken to Muritala Airport. This last trip I made, that was October. I looked up and I saw one of these LED, information. Is it, billboard. And it is houses for sale in Ikoyi. The moment I saw it, it was like there was a magnet. And right there, I knew it was time to have a house in Ikoyi. So I immediately picked up. It's not necessarily the people advertising. It was just a way of God getting my attention. That house thing that you've been on and off, it's time now. And my wife and I already have a house, a beautiful house in a great estate in Lagos. But it's just a nice desire. Is it not a nice desire? Okay, and apparently my father had my heart. So he just wanted to use that advert to announce to me it's time. So I picked up the phone and I called one of my sons that lives in Banana Island. I said, do you have a realtor that can help me? Anyway, don't let me bore you with the long story. I have a house in Ikoyi now. So before the next trip, which was this week, the house has manifested. I know some of you are doing conversion. $1 to $1.8. Over 90% of the money came from this country. You know, I told you I'm an expensive product. So, if you want to pay for my preaching, you can't afford it. So, the only one that can afford me is God. Because he was the one that paid initially. So, that's how he rewards me. When I go on mission like this. For example, at the end of this mission, there's another reward waiting. So whenever he says it's another time for me, I'm excited. Because I know he will reward me. You can't pay me. Don't try it. I'm very expensive. So that's why I pity pastors that put a price on themselves. $10,000, $15,000. Are you that cheap? So the kind of honorarium I get is honorarium like house in Ikoyi. Let me say one more thing and release. You haven't been blessed this morning. Listen, you don't spend money. You spend faith. You know, nothing can be more limiting than a minister who is money conscious. It's too much. You so much elevate money.
that eye that you go all over the places saying what you can afford, what you can't afford? Can you imagine? The moment you sign it with your mouth, you can't afford it. They will ensure you can't afford it. I wish I can have a whole day with ministers. I would love to teach you mindset, power of imagination, and activation through your lips. Can I expose myself? I don't just go to Kenneco Plan Minister Conference every January to listen to the word. I go there to feed my imagination. There are things that God has spoken to me that I know I have a responsibility to now feed my imagination to be able to conceive it. So I love to go to a convention where they don't just have parking lot for cars, they have parking lot for planes. Like that, Barnabas. The other day we left the parking lot for cars where people like us are still parking. And we drove past where the people that with planes parked. I said, I was capturing, you know. Especially now, you know, I have a lot of access to Kenneco Plan Ministry now because, to the glory of God, the head of the IT is someone I ordained into ministry.
Wow.
So special seat any day, anytime. I can go anywhere. Oh yeah, show me around. Let me use my influence. So I have long leg now. Take me everywhere. How you got? So tell me about Leshe Yonone. Why are you? And that's why you can't just have light relationship.
Ko sagbara to dabi ti Jesu. Ko sagbara to dabi ti Baba. Ko sagbara to dabi ti Jesu. Agbara, agbara, agbara to jagbara lo.
I love this one that says,
Ko soruko to dabi ti Jesu. Ko soruko to dabi ti Baba. Ko soruko to dabi ti oruko, oruko, oruko to joruko.
What about this?
Ko soluwa to dabi ti Jesu. Ko soluwa to dabi ti Baba. Ko soluwa to dabi ti Jesu. Oluwa, oluwa, oluwa to joluwa lo.
You know, people that have known me for years, they will tell you, Dr. K can switch. The Holy Ghost has permission to intercept angry and double interject angry and beketo suso meno no no mane yese teki amede ongro mane nene ki amene no tosa kataya embrolo kotaya sata baba baba. As Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. Manka tosa tabra la kataya ekeketa baba baba embrolo kotaya sata baba baba matasa ki ando prolo mekatuso brro kotaya makataya shataba mekatuso brla kataya mokotaya shataba mekato shatabaya ambrlo kotaya sandagri.
Listen, minister of God, don't get so obsessed with principles that you forget about the power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, for our gospel did not come in word only.
Hey!
also in power in the Holy Ghost.
You know, listen, when people in the name of I'm a teacher get to that place that they can now regulate the Holy Ghost, you are insane. What did I say? You are insane. You have lost your mind. You know, where the ministry of the word and of the spirit is concerned, there's always an element of surprise. How many fathers do we have in the house? How many husbands do we have in the house? How many of you love to surprise your loved ones? Where did you think you got it from? You know, I said something at the beginning concerning, you know, going to places to preach. And people say, okay, let's pray for the man of God that has been a blessing to us. That on that day, his name, no, is a passionate prayer, but not necessarily a scriptural prayer. On that day, his name will be in the book of life. Do I look like somebody who's going to hell? He won't stop knowing me. Yeah. You know the verse, the quote for that is that on that day, many will say, we cast out demons in your name. Many will say, we heal the sick. But we say, I never knew you. Oh, yeah, analyze it. I never knew you. So they were never family members. There's a difference between attending the church and being the church. Because so many Christians everywhere are scared. Oh, they don't want to do ministry and be cast away. It's too late. God told me, he said, one of your assignments on this trip is to, he said, sound it, assurance of salvation. If you got it by grace, you can't keep it by works. I'm about to move into the miraculous, but let me say one more thing. You know, there's this other doctrine that people teach. It's what God finds you doing at that point of death or rapture that determines where you will be. Ah, that's a very dangerous salvation, though. That means you have been saved, but you are not safe. Listen, I didn't say all that for somebody to go mess up. I said all that so that you can know you. Say, I will never leave you. Or your own Bible has condition. I will never leave you nor forsake you, except the truth must be preached, because it's the preaching of the truth that liberated generation. That brand of Christianity labeled in fear, I refuse to subscribe to it. If you're a lover of holiness, then this is what ought to be preached. We receive grace and we receive the gift of righteousness. The brothers of Joseph that sold him, listen, were so scared when they discovered the brother they sold is now the one, reduce the place, is now the one calling shot in Egypt. But do you know what Joseph said to them? He said, forget about what you did. I have nothing against you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, God is saying to you, what you did is not enough to outdo what Jesus did. You can't outdo him. The membership, your membership in the kingdom, is not a function of your works. It's a function of his works that you have faith in. And that's why the most required skill in the kingdom is receiving skill. I did the work. You receive it by faith. And it takes humility.
If you can't receive it, you are not humble. I receive grace. I receive the gift of righteousness. Listen, God has called us to Goshen, and Goshen's mean near me. If you want to be near him, as you should, you can't wear guilt. And that's why I gave you a garment of righteousness. They put it on. It's not what you did that got it. It's what he did that gave it to you. But wear it as you come and meet me. If what Adam did threw the rest of humanity into death, how come what Jesus did is not good enough to qualify us for righteousness? How come we believe that we are sinners by Adam and we cannot believe we are righteous by Jesus? This evening, I will break down Romans 5:17 for you. You know, Pastor Barnabas, for the longest time, when I read Romans 5:17, or if by one man's offense, death reign much more. Death reign by one. So the reign of death, one person was responsible for it. And it was imposed on the rest of us. By the obedience of another kind. That's Jesus. Something else replace it. You want to know what replace it? Reign in life. You know, I thought that reign in life means reign in this life. Until I checked the original Greek, the word life here is zoe. So that reign. Now, of course, by application, you can say you will reign in life. So it's not as if you are, you know, you are contradicting anything. But the original communication is the reign of Zoe. The God kind of life manifested. The same way death reign. Now Zoe reigns. Death reign because of what Adam did. But now, God kind of life is what reigns, irrespective of the economy of your nation. Zoe reigns. Somebody shout, Zoe reigns. But how does Zoe reign? He said you must receive. He did not say received. The word received there in the original Greek implies a present participle. In other words, a continual thing. Some of you, you left the teaching of righteousness in your foundation school. Yeah, they taught us. There must be a daily reminder. I'm the righteousness of God. You know, there are several gifts, so, but this gift is the primary gift. Yes, sir. He comes even before the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, sir. I'm the righteousness. Because it's the gift that opens the door for every other gift. Yes, sir. I'm the righteousness of God. Somebody say, why is this so necessary? Because Goshen requires you must be near him. Yes, sir. And it takes a sense of righteousness to be near him. Yes, so the only way this economy will not touch you is to be near him. But you can't be near him when you are wearing guilt. So that's why he told his brother, as you are coming near me, forget about what you did. By the way, God was carrying out his purpose through your mess. Yes, sir. Yes, so I have nothing against you. I've forgiven you. Oh, listen. No condemnation is a must where this kingdom is concerned. Receive upon Mokosatayaka. Na. That's why you will see Paul writing in every grace and peace be multiplied to you. Because you need a daily
receive it. I receive grace. The revelation of God's grace must be refreshed in you on a daily basis. It's not, yes, I listened to a Joseph Priest message 7 years ago. No. Renew your knowledge of righteousness, have the righteousness of God. Remind yourself that you are a product of Jesus' death. That new nothing was made to be seen, that I might become the righteousness of God. I receive grace. It's unmerited. It's unqualified. I don't qualify for it. I only receive it. Listen, the reign of Zoe is tied to the receiving of abundance of grace. Listen, you know, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. To have life abundantly, you must receive the grace that is abundant and the gift of righteousness. I just gave you a formula for the reign of Zoe. I receive. So I tell people, I say, no matter how busy you are, still manage to say every day, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know, each time you say that, you just give the devil his devil a dirty slap. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My standing is by Jesus. And you know, when you say that, heaven is excited, because nothing glorifies Jesus than receiving the gift he gave you, the gift of righteousness. I look forward to the breakout of God's power tonight. I look forward to the manifestation of God's healing tonight. Come on, why are you blessed this morning? Come on, why are you blessed this morning? We love God, but we are more conscious of the love of God for us. We want to please God, but we are more conscious of the fact that he has accepted us. Because those are the roots. When people preach the fruit without laying the foundation of the roots, people get under pressure. What is meant to be produced through an engine, which has already been installed in you, now becomes what you are manually trying to accomplish. I know most of you in this generation have never seen a manual car before. Can I tell you something? You are not missing anything. I know some uncles have harassed you before. Say, ah, you, we are the only one that land the actual driving, that you balance clutch and brake. Please, you are not missing anything. No, that's stressful. Even as far if I have my way, it's self-drive, I will do, and I'm very close to it, because to the glory of God, I have a Tesla. I just need to auto. I belong with it. It's just a Tesla. It's part of what we renew our mind. It's just a Tesla. It's a Tesla. It's a Tesla. The same way, when we buy the plane, I will come here and you want to don't wait. It's just a plane. It's a mode of transportation to make the preaching of the gospel better. Jesus needed a donkey and I need a plane. It's as simple as that. Pastors, ministers of God, don't elevate money. Money has no respect for you when you respect it too much. A lot of money. Even if you don't have that kind of money yet in your account, just say, oh, it's just money. Because at the end of the day, the transaction is by faith, not by money. It's by receiving, not by paying. This screen, how much will it cost? Church, what you grow the bell? We were there one time, and to the glory of God today, not only do we have screen in almost every of our church apart from Akure. I know people will rush me after this service. To the glory of God, we give screen now, just like bah. Oh, yeah, go and use this to worship God. Just learn the fundamentals, and as you grow, okay. Don't worry, when I come back, I will do proper school of ministry, or maybe I will just take serious-minded ministers, just a group of 50 ministers.
lock them in the room. So let me teach you what God has taught me in 30 years. Money is not a problem. What did I say?
Money is not a problem.
We don't worship money. We don't follow money. We don't prioritize money. We don't elevate money. We don't develop skills to raise money. Because some people, they will teach you how to raise money. I don't need to raise money. Money is already following me. Why should I be raising it? Why should I be raising money when money is raising after me? Have you been blessed this morning?
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.